timer or my stopwatch, not that I'm going to look at it, but it's there just in case. Okay, it's working. I can see it. Well, I just want to say thanks for having us down here. You know, we're about an hour and 15 minutes from Rome. It's not that far. I don't know why I haven't been down here much sooner. I have been down here. Probably you guys have probably seen me down here for the sports nights, you know, and you probably seen me down here for that. But I'd like to thank you guys for having us here. I know I learned a couple things on the ride in that I'll share with you, not to the full embarrassment of my passenger, but if you are ever going to ride with Mr. Lichtenstein, make sure you know your Bible, because he's going to quiz you. I learned that, and so I think the next time we ride down, I'm definitely going to be preparing and studying the Word. On a side note, I just, if you guys don't know me, my name's Jacob Mammon. I just got back from Colorado, and I don't know if you guys have ever been, how many people have been to Colorado here? So some people have, and it was beautiful. My first time up there, and it's the mountains go up 13,000 feet out there, and it was tremendous to see. I haven't seen mountains like that. I've seen pictures of Colorado, but this is the first time I actually went up there, went to the pass, and saw, you know, what is God's creation. It is, and there's a lot of beautiful things here, and we got really cheap flights out there, and it was a great trip. So I just recently got back from there, and if you guys have an opportunity, you can get a good flight, go out there and check it out sometime. Now, today's message, you know, I don't have anything new for you guys. So if you guys are hoping for me to bring a new message to you guys, I don't have that today. But what I do have is something that I personally ask myself all the time. A couple questions. If you get note takers, I have three questions. I'm going to get into it here in a second, but I just want to let you know, these are questions I ask myself repeatedly. More so recently, you know, as God has been working with me to always be changing, to be revolving, to become new, just like we all should be, through constant prayer, repentance, and growth. So I've stumbled on three questions I continue to ask myself. I try to ask myself daily. I try to make it a commitment to ask these on at least a weekly basis on a couple areas. And again, I'm going to say this is nothing new. I'm sure you've heard messages in the entire time you've come to church. I'm sure you've heard probably three or four, five, six messages on what I'm about to bring to you today. But it serves to be a constant reminder. It's just so imperative that we ask ourselves these questions, and we do hear messages on stuff like this constantly. So the first question I'm going to ask you today, you've heard it before, and I'll speak on my behalf. I'm going to ask these questions to me, but please insert your name here, or, you know, and apply it to you guys. What am I planted by? What am I planted by? What are you planted by? I got a list of things that you could be planted by. Number one, for the younger people here, and some for the older too, school, learning. I've seen a lot of people dedicate their entire lives to school and learning. And by that, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I've been to school, I've been to college, and it's a good thing to learn and get the education, get the college degree, or get the high school degree and to get that. But there are some people that they live for knowledge that comes from universities. It's what they live for, and they're planted by that. Another one is careers. You know, I'm young in my career. I see people at work all the time just hustling and bustling to get to that next level. There's going to be about 10 levels ahead of them, so they're always going to be at this constant, okay, what can I do right now to get to that next level? So being planted by your career, where you work, that can happen. Coming from careers, money. I mean, we know people who love money. I mean, they're planted by where can they get more money from. It's a constant thought in their minds. How much money do I have? What's my 401k looking like? I looked at my 401k. It doesn't look great. You know what I'm saying? I got a long ways to go. So hopefully I'm not planted by that 401k that I've put a couple of bucks on, like 10 bucks a paycheck. And stemming from money, greed. Greed can be something you get planted by because you're, and sometimes you covet things. Everybody wants to live up to the Jones family down the street. You see things that they get. You see things, and we're subject to the television all the time. The television, the marketing aspect of it is for us to look at and see, you need to buy this. Well, you had this older version of this. Now there's this new version that has these features. Buy this. You'll be much happier with this. And it's a form of coveting and greed. And I'm trying to say if you buy new things, that's greed. So I'm going to don't take it the wrong way. But if you buy new things, that's great. But sometimes people set their minds on and their lives on, I need to get the next new thing. Jealousy. That, just like greed, jealousy falls into that. Here's one, friendships. Now people are wondering, friendships aren't bad. Yeah, friendships aren't bad if you're around the right people. But how many people do we know that have based their Christian lives and their church life on friendships, and when their friends start to leave or to walk in a different manner, that they too start to follow, right? Have we seen that happen a couple times? I know I've seen, I have some friends from back when I was a camper at like Camp Woodman, late 90s I went there, and then early 2000s were my camper years, and I had some friends. I had some dear friends I used to talk to all the time. And unfortunately, they're not around. Okay? And then they had a group of friends. And unfortunately, that group of friends are not around because they planted themselves next to these friendships. Okay? And then when the friendship started, some of the friends started going one way because the other people were planted next to them, followed suit. Relationships. I'm not married, but I've heard and I've been told that sometimes it's possible that husbands' wives will plant themselves, base their salvation with their husband or their wife. You know, I'm not going to speak on that too much because I don't have any experience in it, but just a thought, you know, are you planted or are you getting your spiritual life from your mate? Ultimately, your mates are there to help you and to help you grow in this way of life, but they're not your ultimate. They're not where you should be ultimately planted by. I have about halfway through this list. Gossipers, gossiping. I know some people that live to gossip, where they thrive off what somebody said. Did you see what this person said? They live off that. Their whole lives revolve around what somebody else did. And you know what the thing is? There's a lot of things we have to be working on in our own lives. We shouldn't be worried about what's going on in other people's lives, but you know, I've seen this happen where a lot of people they like to put their nose in other people's business and see what's going on. And let me put another disclaimer here over all this whole message. I don't know, I don't know where you guys struggle with. Just like you don't know where I struggle with because I haven't, you know, we haven't shared with each other. So don't think that I'm coming at you in a way. By no means do I know anything about what's going on in your lives, but these are just potential places we can be planted. Entertainment. This whole world revolves around entertainment. There are people, I mean, they want to see the new movies. They want to go out to the scenes. They want to. They live for the entertainment. That's where they're planted by. Going along with entertainment, what we see on movies and TV, unfortunately, revolves around these three things: sex, drugs, and violence. That's all you see that comes from movies these days. I can't even see a PG-13 movie anymore because it's starting to say there are allowed to say the F word now in PG-13. That wasn't the norm back then. You know, and my sister, you know, I had to tell my sister, I have a little sister, she's about to watch these movies. I'm like, are you sure you want to go see that? Because they're not, they like to sneak things into movies. PG-13 movies are supposed to be okay. Supposed to be okay if your children are around 13, they should be able to hear this. But that's an example of the society we live in. Because now they're saying 13-year-olds have heard this. That wasn't the case. You guys tell me, when you guys were growing up, that wasn't the case. 13-year-olds didn't hear these things. They didn't see these things. But now they do, right? Sex, drugs, and violence starting to get people. That's where a lot of people are rooted by these days. Here's another thing, and this is going to be a little touchy. Ministers, okay? Men. It's easy to just root yourself and plant yourself next to a minister. Now, if Mr. Calvin was here, I would say, I don't want to speak on behalf of him, but I would vouch to say that he doesn't want you to plant yourself and your spiritual life to him, okay? He's here to guide you to God. And that's where you're, ultimately where I'm going to get to is where you need to be planted by. But you shouldn't root yourself with a minister, okay? He shouldn't be your salvation. He should lead you to the ultimate one in charge. Bitterness. Bitterness. I've seen this. I've seen people plant themselves in bitterness for years and years and years, and they cannot break free from that. And they sit there and they live in a life of bitterness, blaming whoever, and maybe rightly. I'm not saying that perhaps somebody didn't wrong you. Who all have been wronged? Who all here have been wronged in their life? I have. Okay? I have definitely had the opportunity to be bitter. Okay? But we don't need to dwell. We don't want to plant ourselves in that kind of toxic bitterness. But it's easy to do because we're humans. And lastly on this list, I know I've exhausted you with this list, but I want to get an encompassing list here. Physical and spiritual trials. Now, we all have our human moments, okay? And everybody has their cross to bear. Your cross might be way heavier than what I'm going through, okay? But when we have our human moments and we go through our physical and spiritual trials, because I know it's happening. I know it's happening. I've talked to people, and I hear the announcements. But we shouldn't stay there in that state. We shouldn't plant ourselves in a spiritual and physical trial because we need to plant ourselves where I'm going to get to, okay? Because that's where hope comes in. If you stay in the spiritual and physical trial and start wallowing in that, then you're going to lose focus of how you can get out of it and who can redeem you. And that's where I'm going to get to. Let's go to Psalms 1 today. Let's start off there. And what's interesting about Psalms 1 on a personal note is that this is something my mom, you know, used to get on me all the time. I used to mess up, and she would come to me and say, hey, get your Bible, and let's go to Psalms 1. And I used to sit there and be like, okay, Mom, I've read Psalms 1 100 times. I know what Psalms 1 says, by heart almost. But she'd always, get your Bible out, and let's go to Psalms 1. You know the scripture I'm going to go to. You know the words almost by heart. But here's the deal. Let's read them. Let's read them again. Starting in verse 1. And I'm going to come back to this in the other sections too. So, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. This is not where I'm getting at, but it always starts with a walking to. Walking to something that may not be right. Then you kind of stand there and you look around and you take in perhaps what's going on here, what isn't right and what's contrary to God. Then ultimately you sit. Okay? So the good thing here, don't even walk towards it, right? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And this is what my mom always tried to get me to internalize here. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. She's trying to get me to know that I need to plant myself next to streams of living water. And where are those streams located? Right here, right? Where are we planted? I went through about 5, 10, 13, 13 different things we could be planted by. What are you planted by? What am I planted by? I'm hoping that we are planted by the streams of living water which flow from God's word. Genesis 39:2. I'm just going to reference this right now. It's an interesting parallel to being planted and prospering. It's an account of Joseph. You don't have to turn there, but hear me out here. Genesis 39:2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3, it says, and his master saw His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Let's ask, where was Joseph planted by? Do you not think that he had almost every right, human right, to plant himself in some bitterness against his brothers? I mean, what if one of you guys were sold out by everybody here and me, and taken to be slaves? Could it be easy for us to be bitter? Yeah, it could be easy, but we shouldn't. But Joseph wasn't. For an example for us, he wasn't bitter, and the Lord made all he did in his hand to prosper, because Joseph was planted. And that comes down to us. Where are we planted? Are we planted by them streams of living water? Luke 8:14. Let's see what's going on here. Luke 8, verse 14. It's the parable of the sower explains. It's captioned above my text here, and I'll probably start, I won't break in here, I'll just start with 11, I'll probably stop at 14. It says here, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. It's the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Verse 13, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Verse 14, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Let's notice that. Where are they choked with? What are they choked with here? It says cares, riches, pleasure. Cares, riches, pleasure. These are people that are planted by those things. They're not planted by the streams of living water that flow from God's word that give us everlasting life. They're planted by the cares. School, career, money, greed, jealousy, friendship. Now, some of these things, again, disclaimer, some of them are good. But if we're planted by them, they're not that good. Let's go to Revelation 22 real quick. To get like a picture of these, a physical picture, a representation of this river of life. Revelation 22. I'll give you a second to turn there. I'll get some water in that time, some physical water here. Because I am human, I get thirsty. We're at 17 minutes. We're doing pretty good. I didn't know how long this message is going to be, so we'll find out. Revelation 22, it says here, starting in verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. So where is this river, the stream, coming from? You guys just read it. We just read it together. It comes out from God and Jesus Christ. Okay? He breathed on this. He inspired this for you and I. Apologize for that. Just to go on, just kind of read a little more and kind of get a mental representation of what trees planted by a crystal clear water flowing from the throne of God can do. In the middle of a street, on verse 2, in the middle of a street and on either side of the river was tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month, which I'm going to get to here in a second. Okay, remember that. Each fruit-bearing fruit, or tree-bearing, yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, that's us. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there, they need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever. God gives you light right here. The scriptures are here to illuminate your life. But the question remains, where are you and I planted? Something we need to ask ourselves, something I ask myself, where are you planted? And it's going to take time to really get to the root of the answer. Of the question, okay? Where am I planted? Ask yourselves this question in the coming week. You'll find out an answer if you truly dive in. Question number two, I like to ask myself more recently. Am I producing fruits? And if I am, what kind? It just goes to say also, fruits are not meant to be seen by others. Sometimes you'll be up here, you'll be serving wherever you might be, in your community, wherever, and people will see what type of fruits you're producing. There's a lot of fruits that I can't see, that anybody, Mr. Cowan, your minister, he won't see, because that happens in your home, when you're by yourself. But there's only one person who sees that, and that's God. He sees in secret, and he'll bless in secret. Okay, so no one can see all your fruits. No, but there are some fruits when you're out in the community and out here that people can see. What you say, how you carry yourself. Let's go back to Psalms 1:3. I told you a story of my mom. She told me to come down here, come to the scripture all the time. And that's what I'm doing to you guys now. So blame my mom for this. Psalms 1:3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. That's where I'm going to stop right there. In its season, bringing fruit. Goes without saying, God expects fruits from his people. He expects it. It's not just an idea. You know, I sure would love to produce fruits for God. No, he wants it. He requires it of you and I. So one saying I heard once, it said, knowledge is conceptual. And the church, we've done a great job. I mean, we have a lot of information out there for knowledge about the Word of God, and that's important. That's very important. Knowledge is conceptual. It's an understanding. Okay? But wisdom, how you apply it, that's practical. So what you know, how are you using it in wisdom? Are we being practical about it? Are we using it? Colossians 1, if you have your Bibles. Colossians 1, verse 10. Yeah, that's a good scripture here. I'm going to start in verse 9. Colossians 1, verse 9. Paul talking to the church in Colossae here. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Right? We got to be filled with the knowledge. In all wisdom, putting it into practice, and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. Fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. 12, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Producing fruits. Let's turn to Matthew 21:18. I'm going to hit a couple of scriptures here. The bulk of my scriptures are right here, so if we can get through this, all right, we'll be doing okay. Matthew 21:18. Here's a parable. It's a parable, but it's something interesting we gloss over. Me and Mr. Lichtenstein were talking about how there's a lot of scriptures we can just look over and read. I've done that a lot. I've read through things, and then I go back and I read them, and I wonder, how did I miss that? Here we go. Verse 18, Matthew 21. Notice what happens here. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. Christ was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. Okay? So this tree wasn't dead. This tree wasn't withered. It just didn't have any fruit on it. It was green. It had leaves. It had a water source, But it didn't have any fruit. Let's see what Christ did here. What did Christ do? And said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree withered away. That should be interesting to someone. That was interesting when I read it. Okay, that was interesting. He saw a tree. He sees people. Okay, and he expects fruits for him to use. And this was just like a physical representation. He was looking for food. But God's looking for good works from us that he can use to help others from me. And he cursed it. And immediately the fig tree withered away. John 15. A little lengthy section of scripture here. I'm going to read 8 verses in John 15. John 15, starting in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. God takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. That should be, we understand that, okay? You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. So where are you planted by, right? Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We cannot produce fruit by ourselves. We have to be planted by the word. And only by that, being planted by that, can we bear any fruit that God would accept. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done. By this my Father is glorified. Read on there. Look at it. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. We are here to be disciples of Christ. That's the commitment and the resolve we came to many years ago. Maybe some recently. There's some younger people here. You know, for me too. You know, I'm pretty young. It's a resolve. That's a commitment we came to be disciples of Christ. And how, in one way, can we glorify God who gives all, who sustains every moment of our lives? When you truly understand that God sustains every single breath that you take, then you turn into a servant, like glorify God through gratitude instead of fear. And so how do we glorify God? How do we show him gratitude? By bearing much fruit. What are these fruits? Let's go to a list of them and just kind of see what's going on here. Galatians 5, if you'll turn, starting in verse 19. Time for another water break for me. Galatians 5, starting in verse 19. Sometimes to figure out what something is, you have to figure out what is not. Okay, so what are not fruits that are acceptable to God? Here we go. Starting in verse 19. Now the works, the fruits of the flesh are evident. Okay, we all see them. Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. Do we hate people? Do we dislike people? Contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. Are we angry people? Selfish ambitions. Are we selfish? Do we just look for I? Me, myself, and I, is the saying. Dissensions, heresy, envy, murder, which is also hate to your brother. drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Interesting, it says, and the like. So that kind of leads into many other things. Things that are not like that, that are toxic. That, again, like some of the things we covered earlier, that if you plant yourselves by, you know, it's not going to be good. Those are some fruits that are not acceptable to God. And I'll be the first to admit, I'll look at that personally, and I can sometimes see in the past and sometimes present where I need to be working on, okay, there's something. Oh, I didn't respond great yesterday to my boss. There's something. All right? Now, but the fruit of the Spirit, going on, let's go to 22. Oh, actually, let's read on to 21. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the times past, that those who practice such things, that who produce such fruits, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's harsh. That's harsh to hear, but that's what's written here. It's not a, you do some of it, and maybe God will help you out. No, you will not. I will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is this. Here we go. The fruit of the Spirit is this: love. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Now, I know that God and Jesus Christ exhibit these qualities without question. Okay? And we're supposed to be like Christ. And we're supposed to be producing fruits like Christ. And here's a list of them. Here's a list of good fruits that we can be producing. Let's go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, starting at verse 15. Matthew 7, starting in verse 15, it says, beware. Okay? It's a lot of caution in this, what Christ tells, okay? He says, always beware. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're like ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn brushes or figs from thistles? No. No, not really. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Good tree bears good fruits, bad trees bear bad fruits. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, again, we hear this so many times from the mouth of Christ here. So many times we hear this. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I'm not here to do scare tactics, but I'm just here to read what the Scripture says. Because these things I've read and I'm thinking to myself, I fall short. Okay? I fall short and I need to get my act together. Okay? Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Turn over to chapter 3. A couple pages. To chapter 3 in Matthew. Chapter 3, verse 8, it says, therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Okay? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Going on to verse 10. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. To close this section, I'm not done. But to close this section of bearing fruit, here's something I just always seem to kind of go over and kind of read through it. But this time in my life, it started hitting me. Okay, it started hitting me. Luke 13. Luke 13. I'll give you a second to get there because this is a very, very interesting. And it goes back to the fig tree, the parable of the fig tree here. Luke 13, Verse 6. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came, seeking fruit on it, and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig. 3 years I've come looking for fruit. I ask myself, how long has Christ come, God's come to me looking for fruit? Three years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, Sir, here's where Christ is awesome, right? Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. And if it bears fruit, great. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. What I draw from that is God expects fruit from us, from me. And he'll come asking, he'll come looking. And he'll come year after year after year looking for fruit. And sometimes, I can only speak from my example, he might not find none, unfortunately. But Christ will say, give it some time. Give him one more year. Give him a couple more years. I'm working with him. He's working with you. Okay? That section of scripture really struck out to me, so I hope it does to you too. Now my last section here, I'm at 36, so I need to start getting to a close here. You know, so my last set here, or last question is, what do my roots look like? What do our roots look like? Now, I did some research, very minimal research actually, so don't hold me to it. Juniper trees. They're predominantly found in Arizona, New Mexico. They grow about 2 to 7 meters in height, which is about 6 to 22 feet. So, I mean, they're not small by any means, but they're not big. But a recorded once was the juniper tree root at one time, a second best record. It went down 61 meters, which is 200 feet. So this tree that's only about, let's say on average, 15 feet in height, had roots that went down 200. Another example is shepherd's tree. The shepherd's tree is a tree found in South Africa, kind of rough area to grow in, okay? I'm going to get to that, actually. They say about 10 meters, which is about 32 feet, is about the height it'll grow. 32 feet, that's a pretty large tree. But it had the most, one example of it had the record as far as the deepest roots, and that's at 68 meters, 233 feet. So my question is, why did the roots of these trees go so deep? Because they grow in some of the harshest climates. Arizona, New Mexico are not known for its greenery. South Africa, I'm sure there's parts of it, but they're probably not known for its fertile soil, the green and lush environment that we see here in the eastern side. Mind you, some of the ones that are planted where there's a lot of water and rain and stuff like that, they have shallow roots because they don't need to go down that far. That's interesting. I'll tell you why. Here's the deal. Trials will come. Trials are here. Okay? And I know some people, and I've always talked, some people have shared with me their trials. And I know that they're going through a trial. And we hear through the announcements, people are going through trials. And they're here now, and the fire is here. But, you know, what happens is sometimes we come through that door, and I'm just as guilty as this. We come through that door put together, looking great and cheery and happy. But on the inside, you're falling apart. We're falling apart. And we're miserable. Because we're going through trials. We're going through spiritual trials, physical trials. Coming to church, this is not the main important part of my message, but just on a tangent, coming to church is where you heal. Okay, you have brothers and sisters that will help, that have an ear. Some are eager to listen and to offer words of comfort. They're wanting to do it, they just don't know how, and hopefully they're seeking out ways to kind of work on that. But if you have problems and you're coming through those doors and you need help and you need someone to talk to, and I have an example of this. If you have someone to talk to, talk to somebody. Your minister, Mr. Cowan, he'll do a great job listening, and he will. Yesterday I had lunch with one of my friends. I used to work with this law firm down in the finance department, and he called me up, and I worked there for about a year and a half, almost 2 years. One of my best friends, okay? One of my best friends. He's not in the church, but we grew together spiritually where we were at. God put us there together. And he called me, and he told me, Jacob, the last 3 months I've been depressed. The last 3 months I've been depressed. I'm not going to tell you names, but my mom disowned me. My stepmom told me not to call me again. My wife is living with her parents right now. He's a mess. He's an utter mess. Okay? What I told him what could I tell him? But I told him something. I said, right now, God is trying to see how deep your roots are, my friend. God's trying to see how deep our roots are. If our roots are not deep, we'll wither away. We'll wither. Because we're not planted by that stream of living water, and we'll wither. When that trial comes, when that the flame, and when we go through that fire comes. But God will let us go through it. Why? Because He wants us to be growing. Okay? Like gold goes through fire, He wants to purge out the deepest inward problems and get it out to the surface and throw it away. He'll let us go through it. And I know some of you guys are going through trials. I know that I'm going through my trials. My family going through trials. We're going through trials here. Okay? But that, it'll test where your roots are and how deep it is. I'm going to knock out a couple of scriptures here because I got a couple more minutes. But Psalms 1:3, I want to go there as I start to close here. Psalms 1:3, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to turn there for the sake of time and read it here. Just as a reminder, he says, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, because it's planted and it's deep. And whatever he does shall prosper. Matthew 13:5. Write these down. Go look at them later if you review your notes. I'm just going to read them real quick just for the sake of time again. I didn't know how long it was going to go. Sorry, Jim. 13:5 says, some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, when the trials are there, when you're going through the fires, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Interesting. Luke 8:13. Just write it down for. Actually, let's not read that one. That's just a parallel. Colossians 2. Colossians 2, verse 6 through 7. It says here, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Okay, we received it. Walk in it. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. The last thing I want to talk about roots are the redwoods. Everybody's familiar with the redwoods. They grow out in Northern California on the West Coast. They're ginormous, huge trees. I've never seen them. I hope to see them one day in person, but we see pictures of them everywhere. They're huge. They're gigantic. People go in them. And they have three people standing in the trunk of the tree, because that's how big these trees are, okay? And they're a sight to see. what you find out about the root system of the redwoods is that it doesn't go that deep. Okay, we're supposed to go deep, but the redwoods, they don't go that deep. As like the junipers and the shepherd's tree that I just talked about that go deep. What's interesting about it is that its root system goes out a long way. Some have said it goes out not up to 900 feet. It intertwines in the roots of the other trees next to them. And that's when it gets hit by the winds and by the power of the storm systems that come through, it does not fall down. Some have said that these redwoods, they're trees that are lasting for hundreds of years, okay? Sorry. There are trees that are still there that are staying upright that are actually dead. But they have not fallen down. Why? Because the brother trees and the sister trees next to that tree, whose roots have intertwined with that tree, is holding it up. How far do our roots go? About right here? About right here? Or do our roots, do we spread out and do we intertwine it with those sitting right next to us? When we go to a feast, do we intertwine our roots with those brothers we'll see maybe once or twice a year? Do we intertwine our roots there? Do we hold those up that are weak, that are falling, that may be spiritually dead, but in time, if we're holding each other up, that person, that friend of yours, that mate of yours, that brother of yours, can come back to life? That's what's interesting about a human being, because it can come back to life through Christ. That redwood tree is dead, okay? That redwood tree is dead, but it's standing upright. What about our roots? Does it go out? Does your roots intertwine with the people here, with the people you meet in your communities, wherever you go? And do you hold them? And in time, do they hold you when you're going through your trial? Closing scripture today, thank you for bearing with me. I'm at 47 minutes, so I might hit 50. I think that's about a good split there to give Jim some time to speak later. Closing scripture in Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, starting in verse 7, just to summarize what we just talked about today. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when he comes. Will not fear when he comes, but his leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit.